Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Rolling right along into Hour 2 of Old School, Austin Orman, Jay Foreman with you, brought to you by, of course, the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, 3 Lincoln locations, and 1 up in Omaha for you to check out, or themercadobutcher.com. All right, Jay, let's not waste any time. Let's get into it here. With another day to sit on it, to think about it, what still stands out to you about Nebraska's 3-point loss to Michigan?
Just missed opportunity. I mean, that's the way that, I mean, any, you know, we'll obviously probably dive into the details. We got a ton of text to get to, but just admit, you missed a phenomenal opportunity for on many levels, and you got to just learn from it. Offensively, you know, we weren't able to control the line of scrimmage. Defensively, we weren't able to control the line of scrimmage. I will say this. We used to call it 13-14 take, right? Odds is going to the left, evens going to the right. So doesn't matter. 13-14 take, 11-12 take. You can get out to 15-16 take, inside, outside zone. But anyway, 14-12, 11-13 take.
Mm-hmm.
Is essentially just line up and their up the middle game was good in the second half. I felt like they got, it's probably something like, man, we found something there, maybe a little bit too little too late. So I think they controlled there when they were able just to go at them. So they struggled to kind of find their rhythm offensively, running the ball and then throwing the ball. I read something where I think Dylan threw it 40 or 41 times.
41 official attempts.
He was pressured like 36 times, 34 times. Now, part of that is because they know what you're doing because they did a really good job against the run. This is why I always tell people, when you stop the run, and with the way Wink Martindale plays defense and what he likes to do, I know him real well, that's exactly what he wants you to do. They upgraded their personnel in some crucial spots. Mm-hmm. They got more back that they didn't have him last year. The defensive tackles that they got in the portal kind of did a really good job. They rotated a ton of guys. And then the sneaky thing that they did was they didn't blitz a lot. What looked like a blitz was the actually a 4-man rush. So number 30, who's one of their linebackers they really like, you know, he's a little suspect in coverage. What he did was, I'm going to find his name right here. Oh, it's Jimmy Rolder. They like him. He had a sack and he had a tackle for loss, but he had two huge assists on sacks too. So what they did was they ran essentially a TE stunt with regular 4-man fronts. He blitzed and ran the T stunt, the end, which I think one time was Moore. The other time was
Barham in on that?
Barham. So both times he set up the sacks. And that's what their go-to was. So they had a pretty effective plan that they were able to dictate the pace, even though the offense was able to move it at times. And then defensively, I'm going to tell you this right now, it was all self-inflicted. Mm. Fundamentals, playing a little too high, understanding numbers, how the offense is going to attack you. When your gap closed, you go over one or back one. You got to know when you're supposed to try to take a shot. When you do, you got to run fit well. That's what Michigan does. They're not the same. Their lines aren't the same as they've had over the last 5 or 6 years.
They looked like it on Saturday, and that was
the
problem.
But they're pretty good, and I think their defense is getting better. And I think their defense was sneaky good last year, like nationally. So And Wink is going to look. You come to Michigan, you're going to be able to play man to man. So you got, I think both the corners were freshmen.
Yeah, young guys.
All right. Well, then that's okay. So, and they don't know no better, right? Right. So
it's out there locking up. That's what they told to do.
But you know, like you know what they do. It's, and I know that the coach said that, you know, they felt like they were getting after him physically. In reality, or in theory and in reality, they were. But it was because we were playing a little too high, not playing with heavy hands, weren't violent getting off blocks, and then we're out of space. So you look hesitant and you look soft. So those are the things that they got to go correct. Know the why and where you have to be in the defense. And also don't just be focused on the play that you get in practice or the formation that generally this defense is made to go up against, because the offensive players and the coaches have, you know, they're able to bite back and they're going to game plan. And so you have to really, really study every single call versus every single play or formation or concept.
Let's get to the starter, Heyman Jewelers text line. Some of your thoughts here. Ben, you've been waiting patiently. Appreciate you hanging on for this answer. Ben says, deep in the red zone, Jay, are you kicking the field goal and taking the points, or are you going for it?
I'm doing all three. I understand why you go for it. I do agree with Coach Rule. Like, you're gonna beat a team like Michigan. You got to beat them. You got to make that play. You got to execute. I think one of their defensive tackles made it. He did a swim move, right, or something like that.
Just blew up.
Yeah. So he made a play, and we didn't. And I can see, but then I understand why you go. I do. I see the reason why. It's early in the game. Listen, you walk the ball down the field now. This isn't like you got aided. Now, here, I will tell you this. Now, for me, the reason why I'm probably not a head coach, because I probably would kick the field goal.
Well, we'll get into that.
Okay.
But keep going.
Okay, so here's the thinking. And this is why I would have probably went for it on Saturday. Okay, we come out, we get the ball. We literally percolate down the field. All right? Like your boy Hank Stram, where we keep matriculating down the field. We matriculated down the field. Our progress was stymied a little bit in the red zone. That's normal because the field is condensed, but we have walked the ball down the field. And you get in the fourth down, you felt like you did pretty good on the edges. And, you know, even though you got a little bit of pressure in a couple plays before, you got to understand that they're going to give you a little bit of pressure, get some pressure. So in that case, I go for it. And, you know, everybody loves the call when you make it. They hate it when you don't make it. Kind of like Illinois last year. It was the perfect play call. It just didn't hit it. So probably was a good play call. It wasn't executed very well. Or, you know, up to the standard. Obviously, or else they would have made it. And then on the flip side, why do you shoot the three? Or why do you not shoot the three? you take the 3 points because then therefore you keep the momentum. And you always keep trying to stack points. But even though you didn't make it, you got off the field quickly and still had a chance to get back those 3 points.
Yeah.
Right? And then you just missed the field goal.
Difference between an all Big Ten guy in Zavada and your transfer guy.
Yeah, and Zavada had been struggling to Michigan standards.
Yeah.
Now he obviously made a deep one.
Yeah.
So I don't think that had a bearing. Look, everybody thinks like, okay, those 3 points, we're going to overtime. I'm going to just burst everybody's bubble. If Michigan was up by that same 10 points 4 minutes earlier, they would have played defense totally different.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have just let you kind of dink and dunk down there because they're playing
big plays.
The game clock again. Yeah. Let you kind of bleed yourself out. So don't get punch drunk or off this one score game. Don't do that because you got to look at it. Okay. Granted, we get the onside, we're in business. You get so I don't mind the call either way. you know, because I guarantee if you if we kicked the field goal and lost by four, people are gonna say you should have went for two or went for a touchdown.
Went for it.
Yeah.
You can also
give yourself a chance. Yeah.
The other, so I don't love harping on that decision on its own. I get people have questions about it, and we're happy to talk about it, but it was the first drive of the game. Mm-hmm. You had 55 other minutes of football to do something about it, and you didn't. You know, it's easy to point back to that in retrospect, right? I think a bigger pivotal moment was Hunter out of the back of the end zone. You weren't getting the Brandon Riley call like against Michigan State there. You know, there's 4 points that you leave on the board in one possession game. Of course, you know, butterfly effect, ripple effect, and not everything's the same. I was not surprised to see Nebraska go for it. Whether or not it was the right or wrong call, we'll get to here in a second, but I was not surprised. Because, Jay, I still think that as much as Matt Rhule talks about wanting defense to be the strength of the team, build through the trenches, I think he understands that's not the strength of his team right now. He probably saw the same thing that you and I talked about. I mean, a little birdie said that Michigan's best run play was outside zone. Nebraska's worst run play defensively was outside zone. You know, Matt Rhule probably knows that. They might have a hard time stopping. It could lead to some explosives. And so I think when you think about what Nebraska's strengths are, the play call that they did, that's worked for them before. I mean, they've run that exact similar concept. They got out-executed by Michigan. Maybe they were too predictable, whatever it is you want to say. It just didn't work. I'm going to believe Matt Rhule that the analytics say go for it. I would tend to agree. He said it was overwhelming. And I'll take him at his word for that. You know, listeners should know by now, that's kind of my jam. Listen to the numbers, trust the gut. In the long run, it will work out. I still believe that to be true. But we're not looking at the long run when we look at what helps us win this game right now. If you score 7 points, that obviously helps you win the game. 7 points is better than 3 points.
But there's no guarantee that you score.
That part, and that's where I'm getting. Seven is better than three, but three is better than zero. You did just do all that hard work to drive down the field against still a good, solid defense.
No, they're more than solid. They're good.
Sure. Well, yes. Maybe the confidence boost of just getting points on the board is something. And in the context of this team, where it's at right now, the analytics may say one thing. Let's say that it's, you know, 70% recommendation, go for it. You got to knock that down a little bit, however you want to adjust for your team's current shortcoming in, you know, goal-to-go situations and in short-yardage situations. You know that Nebraska doesn't just have the power run game to push around many opponents right now, let alone Michigan. You have to understand that the play that you're going to call is on film, and if you call it, Michigan's probably seen it before and have an idea of how to defend it. You're not worried about...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What happens if you fail? Obviously, I get it. You know, play hard and no fear of failure, all that sort of thing. But where I think Matt Rhule kind of copped out a little bit, and where stat nerds like me can get into trouble, is saying, well, I have the data. I have the numbers. You know, in the long run, we're going to be right. Yeah. Great. Maybe you are. And I hope for Nebraska's sake that they are. But in drumstick, you have to take the points in the Big Ten. No, you got to win games in the Big Ten. Sometimes going forward is the right call. Sometimes kicking the field goal is the right call. While I was not surprised Nebraska went for it, while I appreciate and admire the confidence and the message that it could have sent had Nebraska converted and scored the touchdown, there needed to be an adjustment in Matt Rhule's mind of, my team is not good in short yardage goal to go situation right now. It might be the better option to take the points. You know, even if I love in theory the decision to go for it, in practice, Nebraska is not good in short yardage. It wasn't going to get easier throughout the game. It was going to get tougher to drive. Maybe just getting on the board first, coming away with points, would have been the better decision. Again, it's easy to second guess, and I don't want to just dwell on that because there were, again, 55 minutes of football left to be played after that. But I hope that, Matt Rhule, in his heart of hearts, didn't just rely on the numbers as the fallback. Well, I can point to this. They can't say anything about it. You got to take the numbers into consideration. They can't be everything. They're one factor, as is the current context of your team.
I mean, I think you just make the decision based on, like, you don't make the decision to have a backup plan if it doesn't work. You make the decision that you think...
Assume it's going to work.
Right. And
but you can't be a slave to the numbers. Make it for the right reason. Make it because you're confident in your offense, not because the numbers told you to do it.
Right. But I don't think... I mean, the number... This is the problem with analytics. I don't believe in analytics. I really don't. Because it doesn't take into account the emotion of the game.
Oh, they, we're saying the same thing differently.
They don't know who I am, and they don't know who I'm going against. I don't say they don't believe in it, but I don't think he leaned on analytics. I think it was like, I could see why you went for it. I probably might would have went for it. You have a good call. You probably saw it worked against that type of team or that type of red zone defense before. They're awful aggressive defense. It works against that. They made a play, and we didn't. Mm-hmm. But that's not why we lost this game.
No.
Because the reason why everybody's talking about that call, because it was a one-score game. It wasn't a one-score game. It's not. It wasn't. First of all, Hillman, number six, gave us 7 points. My man, I don't know what he was thinking, okay? the taunting, pilling, and all that. That mm-hmm. doesn't normally happen. I guarantee you Sharon Moore and, more importantly, Wink Martindale is
on him for it.
Mm-hmm. You can go back and dissect the game and all that. We lost the game because they outplayed us in the trenches. Now, their defensive line...
We're getting questions about that. What can be done about the offensive line specifically is what most people are asking about.
Well, you just got to play... this game came down to fundamentals.
I think, like you were saying, it seemed more like communication.
No, this is fundamentals, man. This is what you've been coached to do. You just didn't do it at the same rate or efficiency that they did. Like, there was a couple of direct access plays, which, you know, on both sides we had it. We had Desaun McCullough going there, right? The center just couldn't get out there, which I don't know, even agree with that blocking scheme where you have the center kind of, you know, essentially, you know, parry, you know, get out there and try to block an outside rusher. It's really good if the guy's not blitzing because he's the, you know, essentially takes place of the running back.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have many direct access plays. They just outplayed us. They out executed us. They played with better leverage. They were probably, you know, beat us to the punch in an aggressive level. Then defensively, you know, we had a lot of right calls. And even on the big runs, we had the right calls. We didn't execute it. When you don't do the fundamentals, it makes you look a step slower, like two times stronger. Then everybody's worried about how big you are up front. And all that stuff, that's the easy part. You know, that's the easy answer. Well, let me
add this to it, though. I mean, you mentioned that Michigan showed a lot of different looks, but weren't getting home with a bunch of blitzes. They were doing four, which mm-hmm. leads me to believe that maybe the fundamentals slipped for Nebraska because they didn't know what they were doing, who they were blocking, where they were supposed to go. Because Michigan right. presented these other looks, they were so worried about trying to get to the right guy that they couldn't worry about technique, fundamentals, what have you.
It's the same looks. I mean, they might have disguised it a little bit, but that's what you go into a game and you expect that. What I think is when you aren't able to establish a conventional run game, all right,
mm-hmm.
and then when you go to throw the ball and you actually had somewhat of success at throwing the ball and you kind of get caught up in, you know, Dylan had the off-schedule play where he got, you know, lucky enough, didn't get out on, he got out of like two sacks on a play and then hit Lindenmeyer. For a big game, you're getting momentum, and then it resets your playbook because mm-hmm. now they're reeling. Now, what Wink Martindale does, he sticks. He's like a shoot out of the OK Corral. he got a trigger finger. It's quick, and he's gonna stay on it. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. so, what I mean by they out executed this, and sure, it could be communicated, and you can come off the picks and stuff a little bit better or whatever. But when you don't establish a run game, conventional run game, and you allow a team to rotate defensive linemen and pin their ears back, you play right into their hands, and then they just play a little bit better. But defensively, on a couple of the runs, I know for sure, at least the two long runs, it was probably the right call that it wasn't executed right. That is a perfect example of professional football. Mm-hmm. So everybody's listening out here. Here's the difference. Now, here's the big difference now from, say, big-time high school football to now, which is, like, let's just say, semi-pro football. Let's just keep the NFL professional. These guys are now being paid. This is what I had to learn. These guys now are being paid, and their job is to get in your way, and if you take one false step, one hesitation on the read, that running back's job is to hit his head on the goalpost, and they did it twice. So it's not about, everybody's like, okay, well, we need a 4-man front or you need a 3-man front. Well,
Michigan, Rule said they went to a bare front.
Yeah, they did a bare front. So you want adjustments. They adjusted during the game and they had it in their back pocket during.
You're telling me that didn't happen at halftime?
Well, I'm sure they did it during the game, right?
I'm just referencing your halftime adjustments, right?
Yeah, there's no halftime.
It was incredible.
There is no halftime adjustment. It's too short.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so they made the adjustment to the bare front on the floor.
Yeah, bare front. You knew you were going to possibly need it. So mm-hmm. that's a, you know, pre...
You practiced it.
Yeah, premeditated one, right? Mm-hmm. You did different stuff. You just got to play better. You got to... The fundamentals is what you need to... First of all, is lining up. Right? I'm going to tell you this right now how to play against a team like Michigan. You better know exactly what you're doing. You better know exactly why you're doing it. You better know exactly what everybody else is doing. And you better know exactly why they're doing it. And it's not just in doing your job. You better know whether it's strong side inside backer, weak side inside backer, nickel dime, or whatever dumb name you want to come up with as on the text line or whatever's in there. And then that's just the first part. Okay, that means you got to handle your business, and we got to handle our business. So I even got to know what Buford's doing, all these guys are doing, way mm-hmm. out even on the corner too, because yep. that affects me too, or it can, right? I better know splits. I better know when it's a negative split. I better know when they go, we used to call it in rocket motion or regular motion. I better know if they have either one of those motions to the right or left, what they like to do. That's just a start. Then you have to study what they are trying to do against a defense like yours at every part of the field, the game, the situation, and the pressure. Because if they came out hitting on their level routes, what I talked about, which they did. They
hit a couple of them.
They hit a couple of them. They didn't change. Now, they usually ran, I'll call it a 4-level routes, where they had 4 guys in different levels. They had emergency call, a check down, short, medium, long. They just went to 3. After Deson McCullough got the sack, they started to keep the emergency guy in there. That's why it was 1 quick. And then they caught us in the quarterback sneak. So, really, when you look at when you're sitting in that film room, sure, you definitely should be mad about the game. Mm-hmm. But I would be very mad at myself if I didn't play the correct coverage or technique or whatever. And because I can control that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take where I can control. And if they're just better than me, then so be it.
And I think that gets to what 1380 is asking. This will be the last thing before we go to break and call Tom Chattel. How much of it is just talent? Nebraska got out-talented at times, but Nebraska had enough talent on that roster to win the game.
But what's
you know, order? It was an execution thing. It was a fundamentals thing, like Jay's saying. I mean, yeah, there are positions on the field where Michigan's clearly better, where Michigan's clearly deeper. But whatever talent disparity you want to attribute to Michigan's, you know, top 10 recruiting classes over the last 5 years, Nebraska still had every opportunity to win the game. Which is the same thing that we've been saying for the better part of the last 7-8 years, is that, sure, maybe there is a talent disparity. I talked about that with Brian Munson, right? Just go back and replay that interview. Talent's a part of it.
That's
but you can also take talent out of the equation and say, regardless of the names on the back of the jersey, Nebraska had multiple opportunities to win that game, talent aside.
Yeah, that's just everybody's trying. Listen, you got beat. Like, close your eyes. Go in your bathroom, turn the lights off as fans, and say, you know what? Michigan beat us. I hate it because I hate Michigan. Tip mm-hmm. your hat to them. They beat us. Mm-hmm. They played better than us. We had our chances, but they took advantage of their chances.
Now, Michigan didn't play perfect, but they played better little bit more.
That's it.
Three points worth more.
Right. And that's our fault, right? Because we controlled the things that they beat us at. We controlled.
We didn't make them play bad.
They have talent. We have talent. Sure, they might have better talent or more like, you know, top to bottom talent. But we ain't losing. Like, I'd like to ask these people to talk about talent. Tell me exactly what talent is.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying D.C. politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Yeah. I know for a fact they don't know what talent is. Talent is just the starting point of the skill set that you were born with. Mm-hmm. You hone your skills to the point that is almost that it's perfect or perfect for you. And mm-hmm. one of the talents that you have to have that isn't on these pieces of paper or I guess the computer now. Okay, that's how I just dated myself in the computer or in the paper. Is that you gotta love it, man. Mm-hmm. Like, you gotta love
it. Not love it.
Hey, man.
You just a choice. Not negotiable.
Yeah. Hey, I'm gonna get a little Haynes, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, he reminded me of Lamar Smith.
Of course he did. Of course he did. We won't make you tell that story again. We'll go to break. Talk to Tom Chattel after this.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back here to Old School. Austin Foreman, Jay Foreman with you. We are headed to our Aloe Fiber VIP line. Usually, 6 o'clock, we would have the Husker Football Hour with Tom Chattel. But Tom Chattel, a man in high demand, lots going on in his world. So we're taking him at 4:30 here instead. Let's bring him in, lead sports columnist of the Omaha World Herald, Mr. Tom Chattel. Tom, a good afternoon to you. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on there?
Oh, a whole lot. You know, Husker football discussions left and right. Let's just start with just your general impressions, your takeaways from Nebraska. Michigan, a loss for the Huskers. Can you still argue that Nebraska took a step in the right direction as a program despite losing the game?
It was a very confusing day. Because if you were hoping, like I was, to have some sort of definitive answer on where Nebraska stands right now, he didn't really get it. There were several steps forward, but the bottom line was still short, you know. And the thing that happened to the offensive line was pretty concerning. So I don't know if that was Michigan or just a giant red flag, because against Cincinnati, the offensive line really kept Dylan Rayola clean, and he didn't get touched. So I don't know, but a lot of things to like, but still, you know, you're hoping to see him close the deal in a game like this, and they weren't ready.
They weren't ready. They lose by 3, another one-score loss. Did that feel like a one-possession game to you, Tom, or did it feel like Michigan was in control for more of that game and then the late Nebraska touchdown cut it to a one-possession game?
Yeah, I felt like it was close, but I've always felt like Michigan was a step ahead. And they were going to have an answer. They always seemed to have an answer. They weren't flustered by the Hail Mary. Other teams might have. And Nebraska really didn't seize the momentum in the second half the way they could have there. I just felt like it was, you know, Michigan. And part of that is when you're on the line of scrimmage, it's sometimes just a matter of time. Mm-hmm. And that was the case here. They, you know, a lot of those long plays by Michigan were not necessarily in Nebraska getting blown off the ball, but just being in the wrong spot. But clearly Michigan was the aggressor, and they took advantage of, you know, Nebraska's still pretty young on the defensive line. And I, you know, look, there were questions about this team. The people that had their minds made up about playoff contender and nine wins, I thought were crazy because we didn't know what kind of offensive line they were going to have. And we didn't know what kind of a defensive front seven they were going to have. So it takes a game like Michigan, you know, not Akron, not Eastern Christian, but Michigan to tell you kind of who you are. And I think the coach has got a good look. Again, special teams is much improved. They've got a lot of things going on. They're, you know, the passing game is very good. Don Rella has come out firing. But you just, if you can't block, if you can't dominate up front, or at least hold your own, you're going to have a hard time in this league.
And you got three more opponents at the very least that are going to look to take advantage of that in Minnesota off a short week at Penn State in Happy Valley, and then, of course, hosting Iowa to end the regular season. I'm curious to see, too, Tom, if the offensive line is something that Nebraska moving forward needs to scheme around, or if it was just Michigan, because some of the conversation that we heard on these airwaves was people maybe underrating just the depth of talent that Michigan has, the fact that they are still, you know, a championship program just a couple years ago. I my read on it is that Michigan was probably better than Nebraska, and Nebraska just had a bad day. And when both of those things are true, you end up giving up 286 rushing yards and 221 of it on seven carries.
Well, I agree, but I also think the offensive line is not there yet. It's you know, year three, and let's be honest, this program the last 23 years or so has ignored the offensive line. They had a guy named Barney Cotton who got to coach the offensive line twice and was fired twice. I had staff who were fired twice. I thought the second time, you know, they had a good to decent offensive line under Barney. I don't think it was great, but it was, you know, they were getting there.
And put dudes in the NFL.
Yeah, it's a thing that you have to do all the time, and they've just forgotten that that was the identity of the program, the heart of the program. And so, you know, that's what Jim Harbaugh, when he went in, I mean, I'm a Charger fan, and I'm seeing that. When they hired Harbaugh, I thought, this will be good. He's going to take care of the offensive line, and he's going to and they're going to run the ball. And that's what he did at Michigan. And when he was at Stanford, one, he had a great offensive line. They ran it, and he had a very good quarterback. Well, it took him a while to get that at Michigan, but once he got the offensive line rolling and the quarterback, they were off the races. And so that's what Michigan, now Michigan is just continuing to do that. Well, I believe Matt Rhule has the same intention. I think he's going to make it a priority. It just takes time, and the offensive line, a really good dominant line, needs continuity. It needs guys together for 2 or 3 years, which is a little harder to do in the portal era. But I think, you know, they're just year three now, and they're trying to. I mean, this is a better line, but it's not there yet. And it's you need talent. You need, people are going to be all over Donovan Rayola, but you need talent, and they don't have dudes on the offense. They don't have those guys. I mean, they've got Elijah Pritchard is kind of a dude, but he's got issues with false starts and stuff. I mean, he's got a clean that up, and I think he'll be on the field in a hurry. And I wonder if maybe he should be on the field anyway, but you don't want to beat yourself either. So I think they'll be better next, you know, against other teams, but they're not going to be dominant. And then and there's some games this year they're going to have to be able to do that. So yeah, they'll have to scheme around it. But in the Big Ten, you know, you can't hide your offensive line. You either got it or you don't. And if you don't, it's probably going to be a long day.
Are there more of those dudes on the defensive side of the ball, or is that room in kind of a similar position in your eyes?
Maybe. I think there probably could be, but we saw, you know, I saw a defense that was flying to the ball, really did a pretty good job against Michigan's offense. But these guys, you know, were out of position on a couple of plays, and bam, 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 they went the distance. And, you know, you can't get out, you know, there were times when they were just were they and Michigan blocked them, but they were or they weren't where they were supposed to be. But I think the inexperience probably caught up to them a little bit there. But in general, I think that they fixed the first game issue of not playing to the ball. I think they're still doing that. I think they were in general pretty good. I guess Michigan's offense, obviously, when you lose, you're not good enough. But you know, all these things, we always look at the half, the glass half empty. They were only lost by three. They were, you know, they had these problems with the offensive line, and they were still in the game at the end. And if you kick a field goal early, you maybe you tie it. It's you know, of course, they needed the Hail Mary too, but
right.
I think that it showed that in a lot of ways they were as good as Michigan, but not where it counted. And that's making plays that win games.
That it is. And we're talking with Tom Chattel of the Omaha World Herald here on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. Thing I keep coming back to, Tom, on that aspect of things is, despite all the issues, Nebraska put up 27 points, which is more than they've put up against a defense like this in a game of this caliber in a long time. And generally, you would think that, you know, 27 points ought to be enough to win you a game, except that, you know, Michigan hit the explosives, Nebraska didn't quite as much. And we have some people on our text line complaining, well, he didn't get enough from Dane Key and Isaiah Hunter. I don't think the passing game was the issue. And I think that's one of Nebraska's strengths that it's going to continue to lean on in Big Ten is, yeah, you got to get production out of the guys you're paying for, right? Simple economics, return on investment, what have you. But Nebraska still threw for 300 yards against Michigan, which doesn't happen. And so, no, the offense wasn't perfect. There are things for it to clean up over the bye week. But really, I think it's, you know, soul-searching time in some ways on defense more so than offense. I think Dana Holgorsen, for the most part, did what Nebraska paid him to do.
And they did that with seven sacks. I mean, think about that. I mean, you're throwing for 300 plus, and you've been sacked seven times. I mean, that's just silly. It didn't make any sense. But that's how many times they've attempted to throw it too. But you know, if they'd won that game, you know, Dylan Raiola people would be talking about him as the best quarterback in the Big Ten right now. I mean, that's how well he played, but you know, and he played under serious pressure. And maybe if he was one of these guys who was mobile, he, you know, they would have found a way to get him. You know, okay, here comes the rush. You know, go outside and run, or you know, make these guys pay. Have a quarterback draw, or maybe a screen pass. You know, or two or three. It's just, you know, one of those. I think it was a learning curve for everybody, but yeah, they've got a passing game, but they're going to need a running game. I think they've got a running game too. I'm not sure that they tried enough. I think that they win it early on. I thought Emma Johnson looked good against those guys, but as the game wore on and Michigan wore on, a lot of those runs up the middle, up the gut, were not going anywhere. They got stuff. So, yeah, I think the passing game will be able to go against anybody. And you know, you raise a good point. You know, Michigan, you know, good team. How good? I think this game will have context added to it as the season goes on. Maybe this is a Michigan team that is going to win out. They got Ohio State at home. I think they go to USC, but I don't think they get Oregon. I don't think they get Penn State. So it's a team that quarterback is going to get better. It was certainly better to play him early than what would have been to see him later this year. So, yeah, I think, yeah, there's signs of hope everywhere. but on the scoreboard, and people are tired of it. They wanted to see action. They wanted to see something different. They just aren't ready for that yet. And, you know, you were there today at Rule's Presser, and he's, as always, he answers everything and more. And but there were no answers today. And I think, you know, coming off the film, I mean, this is not a situation where the coaches can do a whole heck of a lot. What they can do is try to put the team in a better position to make plays, but the players have to go finish the deal. It's up to them. The coaches can't do it. Players have to be taught how to do it, but the best teacher is a success, and they have to go win some of these close games. They got one in Cincinnati. They got a couple at the end of last year, but they need more, and it has to become a habit. It has to become a deal where, you know, you know you're going to make a play. You know, they don't know that yet. They don't know where to make plays. So, how sometimes. So, I think these next games, and they're going to be tough. I mean, you know, Michigan State, they put up 31 points on USC. They've got a mobile quarterback. Michigan State's not great, but they're good enough to beat you if you let them. And, same way with Maryland. Maryland just went into Wisconsin, and I realize Wisconsin's a mess, but Maryland is not to be, you know, not to be underestimated. And that game will be interesting. So, Nebraska's going to get, I think they're going to get plenty of practice at the one score games and trying to close the deal, make plays to win games. So the more they can do it, the better off they'll be the next time they get into one of those games.
I did like what Matt Rhule had to say on that note, Tom, about, you know, the run defense and how on the three or four bus, it was three or four different issues, you know, and Matt Rhule also said something that I appreciate, you know, not going to call the players out in terms of, putting them on blast like maybe fans would or in front of the media saying names, but still behind closed doors, being honest with the players that ended up making the mistakes about what the shortcoming was and how to fix it. I will say I don't think Nebraska, you know, managed the end of the first half perfectly and got away with it because Michigan out mismanaged them. But it did seem like Nebraska was generally prepared against Michigan. They looked the part. They hung in it. And again, it's damning with faint praise. I know fans are tired of their close talk. But we'll just loop this right back around to where we started. For all the issues, most of them seem fixable in that, you know, pretty much all Nebraska's goals are still on the table in front of it. We might have just seen the defining game for an 8-4 type of football team, which would be not the step up some of those fans you mentioned might have wanted, but certainly still another step in the right direction for the program if that's what we're looking back on at the end of the year.
Well, yeah, they're fixable, but the players have to fix them. The coaches can't do it. The coaches can tell them what to do. The players have to go do it on the field. And so at some point, that's leadership. How much the leader? This is not necessarily an older team. It has some older guys, but it's not an older team. The leadership is going to show up this week and next week, and but they've got to go. They've got to go make the plays. They've got to go make the changes. Offensive line has got to be better. They've got to go out. Okay, we're not going to, you know, and I don't know if that was just a purely talent thing on offensive line, or they just. They got hit in the mouth and they did not respond. Well, that has to change. So, I just think they're in a spot where, you know, we didn't know what this team was all about. The Michigan game was going to tell us. Well, the Michigan game gave us a pretty good view. And, yeah, I think it's an 8-4 team, and I kind of wondered that all along. I always thought 9 wins was kind of a stretch. Because there's so many questions still, and this schedule's tougher than people. Some people don't want to admit it, but it's tougher than you. Every one of these games is going to be a ball buster. I mean, Michigan State is not going to be easy. Everybody has a good coach, and these guys have quarterbacks that can beat you. So, you know, the Nebraska has to take every game like it's Michigan. And so, okay, well, let's talk about 8-4. 8 games left. Can they go 5-3? Yeah, I think that's probably a doable thing, don't you? I mean, five and three. So, and then you get in the bowl game, you win the bowl game, that's nine. You're 9-4. Wouldn't that be a good year? I think so. And I think if you go 5-3, you're going to beat somebody that you probably want to beat. So, you know, Minnesota or Iowa or Penn State or USC. I mean, that's, you know, one of those four is going down if you they go 5-3. So maybe two of them. But the point is they've got to right now. They've still got a thing. I would not panic. I would not worry about, oh, Nebraska can't win close games again. They got into one with a team that's, you know, could be playoff caliber by the end of the year. So they got into a deal with that, one of those teams. So they got to get back on winning track and learn how to put these things away. The more you do it, the more you're going to be able to do it the next time. So, it's just a frustrating place to be because there were good things and, you know, they obviously really wanted to win that game and be able to say, we've turned the corner. But I don't think this schedule in this league is not a situation where you turn the corner after one game. There's always another one, and then another one, and then another one. So, you know, turning the corner or arriving, which I don't think, you know, you don't arrive with one game. You know, doing all that happens over a season of doing it over and over and over when it becomes a habit. So, but that's all still in front of them. 8 games left. And they got a hell of a quarterback. You know, I love that they've got a punt returner. I love that. I love what Corey Barney brings to the offense. He's a dynamic X factor. I love that. Good running back. Good tight end. Tight end's a playmaker. They've got receivers. I mean, I think the defense will get better. It's just, you know, you got to take one on the chin. And you can't, you know, that's what I love about Rule's pressers are upbeat, and he talks them up. Because, you know, yelling at these guys and running them down is not going to get them over the hump. They've got to know that, okay, we're good enough to do this. And I think he does that. It's good to have a veteran coach aboard who understands that stuff and can relate to players that way. So this is not a situation of a first-time coach learning how to do this. That's a big deal. So, you know, we'll see what happens next week. But, you know, it's just the mentality of every week's a rock fight is perfect. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Sure is. Tom, we're up against the clock. We'll let you go. But on behalf of everyone at the ticket, I know I'm not the first. I certainly don't want to be the last. Congratulate you on your winning the Burt McGrain Award, which means, of course, induction into the Football Writers Association Hall of Fame and the National Football Foundation College Football Hall of Fame down there in Atlanta. Seriously, from me, from all of us here at the ticket, thanks for everything you do for us, and congratulations on that award, Tom.
Thanks for having me. I love being on here, and I love covering Nebraska football and college football. It's the greatest job in the world. That's not a job. So I love it. Thank you.
Absolutely. That's Tom Chattel, a lead sports columnist of the Omaha World Herald, with us here on 93.7 The Ticket. Join us on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. We'll be back. We got hour 3 of Old School straight ahead.